Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and it is one of those happy days because it's Monday, and I like Mondays. And Monday says we've got a great future this week, and it starts today. And we look at life one day at a time, and we get up every morning. We get a chance to praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and get involved in intimate prayer, and I hope you do it throughout the day. I always think of prayer as kind of having a walkie-talkie. You can always hear the static of the walkie-talkie. You can always communicate instantly. And God hears every prayer all the time, which is really an amazing thought. And He not only takes your prayers, but He stores them in bowls of gold in heaven. And our prayer is like a aromatic fragrance to Him. So why wouldn't we be doing it all the time? And 1 Thessalonians says, pray, rejoice always, pray continuously. And give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, having said all that, I've been praying a lot about this interview because we're going to talk today about the importance of prayer. And I think not only is it a great topic, but it can also be an emotional one, and it can be one that we want to ask questions about. So your questions are welcome today. Ken Samples is my guest. He's not only a philosopher, but a theologian. He just really wants to help people understand how reasonable and relevant Christianity's truth claims are, and he does an awesome job at it. He's a senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe, and you can bet he's written a number of books. They include Christianity Cross-Examined, Classic Christian Thinkers, and God Among Sages. He's a regular monthly guest, and I can't wait to have him on again. Ken, welcome.
Hello, Bill. It's good to be with you.
You know, a couple of years ago, I did an 8 or 9 month series on prayer. So a couple times a month, we would talk about prayer. And that lasted for 8 or 9 months. It's like, I want to start all over again.
That's great. I love your walkie-talkie analogy. That's perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's when you're on the battlefield, you have a walkie-talkie, and when you hear the static of it, you know at any time you can break in and start talking. You don't have to turn anything on. You don't have, nothing has to warm up. It's just ready to go.
That's right. You got the bat phone right there.
The bat phone, indeed. So Wyatt and I, my producer, we were talking in the green room today about prayer and how everybody wants to learn more. Everybody has their history with prayer, their baggage about prayer. I don't know. Are you a faithful, can't wait to get praying in the morning kind of guy? What are you like, Ken Samples?
Well, I love to, in the morning, I love to have a time of prayer. It always includes confession of sin, but I also try to, involve thanksgiving to God and worship of God. And of course, I'm a very needy person, so I'm always petitioning God.
Yeah.
So all of those are, and I have a book that's meant a great deal to me called The Book of Common Prayer, and that's just a great treasure in church history.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Ken. You may or may not know the answer to this, but if we look at the entire body of evidence of what Scripture teaches about prayer, how much of it is about worshiping and adoring God, and what percentage would you say is about petitionary requests?
Yeah, that's such a good question. My thinking is that I love your passage that you cited. That's one of my very favorite ones.
Oh, good.
I always share it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18.
That's exactly it.
Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I think it's very clear that God wants us to pray, that this is part of that life of faith and trust and communication. And in trying to answer your question, I think maybe sometimes prayers of worship might be, less than they ought to be.
Yes.
In a sense. And I certainly think that, I think that prayer gives me, it changes my attitude completely. It's when I have that attitude of prayer, when I realize that I want to develop, I don't pray 24/7 on my knees, mm-hmm. but I try to keep an attitude of prayer and an awareness of communicating with God, throughout every day.
Mm-hmm. Ken, when you begin prayer, is your default, give me, help me, or is it, thank you, Lord, for who you are and your character and your love and your unfailing promises? What direction do you start? I'm guessing I know, but I want to hear you say it.
Well, one thing that's meant very much to me, Bill, and I've tried to talk about this a lot in my teaching, in my Sunday school teaching, in my writing, that I try to address God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm praying to the Father, but I'm praying in the name or the authority of Jesus, and I'm praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons I do that intentionally is I want people to feel comfortable talking about the persons of God, Father, Son, and Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, to your great question, I think my first intent is always wanting to keep a short list with God. That is for me, confession is really a very important part of my prayer, but that immediately goes to the idea of being thankful to God. I try to expand my gratitude. I try to think of ways. I try to consciously think, what are things in my life that I am not constantly giving God a thankfulness for? So that would be my answer.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I learned a long, long time ago by a guy who mentored me when I was, I think, a teenager. He said that try to develop a muscle in your prayer life for giving God thanks for things that are non-negotiable, they're unchanging, because everything else in life can change. Your health can change, your finances can change, your love relationships can change, but the unchanging things, Christ's death and resurrection, eternal life, there's his unconditional love. If you develop a muscle for always giving thanks for those things, when the other things change, you've got some muscles for giving thanks. You're not ever at a place where you go, well, God's let me down. And no, you've been giving him thanks all the time for things that are never going to change.
That's really great. I think, because just as you said, life is so much of constant change in our life, to be able to have that foundation of the things that don't change, that's very powerful.
Mm, thank you for saying that. Let's get down to some maybe a basic definition. Ken, how does Scripture define prayer?
Yeah, I think fundamentally, prayer is communication with God, and that hopefully is a two-way communication with God, that we spend time talking with God, communicating with God. And again, that would involve a variety of types of prayer. It would involve worship. It would involve thanksgiving. It would involve confession and petition. But it would also involve meditating as a time of prayer that would, in my mind, work very well with Scripture. I like to take my favorite particular passages and recite them. I a number a year or so ago, I went through some health problems, and all of those verses I had memorized were so important to me. It was so important to me to be able to cite those passages and to hold on to those passages when I was going through pain and when I was going through anxiety. And so prayer is communication. And I love what Peter Kraft is a Christian philosopher. He said, Bill, that he thought that when people deconstruct, that is, they deconvert, and we see people walking away from the faith. Peter Kraft said that he thought a fundamental stage when people fall away is when they stop praying.
So true.
I thought that was so powerful. You want that life force of God, the Holy Spirit has indwelled us, communicating with Him. And so I think you're exactly right. This is a level of spiritual warfare.
You want to be
communicating, you want to be talking with God.
Yeah, amen to that. Ken Samples is my guest. He is at Reasons to Believe. Reasons.org is the website. And he is a regular guest. We're talking today about the importance of prayer. Now, I know this conversation is going to get a little bit emotional, as Wyatt and I were discussing in the green room prior to the show about things like tone of voice, vocabulary, and how important is it, Ken, that we are fervent in how we pray?
Yeah, that's a meaningful, I think, approach. I think that sincerity, I think humility, I think the attitude of a person's heart scores higher than, you know, the intensity or the tone of voice. But I still think that an attitude of being in the presence of God, a God that knows all things, a God that is everywhere present, a God that possesses all power. Obviously, God is beyond us. He is beyond the universe. But I think a sense of reverence, I think a tone of thanksgiving, also a recognition of our own brokenness, our fallenness. So I think all of those things would hopefully inform our tone and how we would approach God with our needs and thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Ken, what would we say about our petitioning the Father? And then the Bible talks about Jesus speaking to the Father on our behalf. Like Romans 8:34 says that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And 1 John 2:1 says that Jesus is, you know, our advocate with the Father. And Hebrews 7:25, we learn that Jesus always lives to intercede for us. This is like, is that the most encouraging thing you've ever heard?
Absolutely. To recognize that the Son is our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes with the Father on our behalf, and also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us. In the Greek, he's the paraclete, the one who comes alongside us to help us. And I love that, and that's largely behind my desire to have my prayers to be Trinitarian, that I have a relationship with the Father. It is through the Son, and He is interceding for me in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love all of that. I think that it is very rich. And one of the things I find most exciting about being a Christian, Bill, is that God is analogous to a loving family, and I've been adopted into that family. That the Trinity is so important to me because it gives me a sense of satisfaction that I've been adopting into the family, and God is a loving community of persons.
That's powerful. Ken Samples is my guest. We're going to take a little break, but we are going to continue our discussion on the importance of prayer. So if you have a question or comment, you're so welcome to send it over. The text line is open. just for you. 877-933-2484. Be right back with Ken.
Musi gratis abigabuncha. You know, I took an online language course, but I will admit I couldn't afford the professional one. But I think you get the idea that in whatever language and however we try to say it, you hear from each one of us at Faith Radio that your financial gifts, prayer support, and generosity made our spring fundraiser a Glory to God praise report. And you can still do so now at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word give to 877-933-2484. Thank you.
My guest today is Ken Samples. He's a philosopher and theologian. You can learn more about him at reasons.org. He's written a number of books. Ones that pop to mind are Christianity Cross-Examined, Classic Christian Thinkers, and God Among Sages. Today we're talking about the importance of prayer, so if you have a comment or question, you can text it over 877-933-2484. All right, Ken, let's talk about the pros and cons of, let's start with formal prayer, the pros and cons of formal prayer, because Wyatt and I were talking in the green room about this, and it seems that we kind of, as the body of Christ, all sort of learn how to do the public formal prayer, we learn certain phrases and expressions that almost make us feel like part of the team, part of the club. And is that helpful, useful, or are we truly speaking our hearts to the sovereign God of the universe? Or yes to both?
Well, I think formal prayer, and I think there are pros and cons. I think some of the pros are, again, I go back to some of the formal prayers I've learned from the Book of Common Prayer, or even the Lord's Prayer, which is prayed in every Christian church and by all Christians. I think the pros of formal prayer is it can take you deeper. It can give you language that runs deeper than just, you know, our kind of casual prayers. Of course, the con is always that it's possible to recite things without a deep commitment of those things. I mean, it is possible to grow up in a Christian tradition and to never and to really miss having a personal relationship with God. On the other hand, you know, casual prayer, I think, is also important to be able to talk to the Father, Abba, to be able to have an intimate relationship with God, to be able to open our hearts and to confess our brokenness, our sinfulness, to give thanksgiving to God. And yet I think the con of the casual is sometimes it could become too casual. And I think both the formal and the casual are part of that big picture of I worshiping God. I want to know who God is. I want to know his attributes. I want to know, you know, I have atheists who will sometimes ask me, why would God ever want to be worshiped? And I said, well, think about infinite goodness. Wouldn't you want to worship? Wouldn't you be drawn to? Wouldn't you desire a being that is infinitely good and just and holy? So that theology, I think, kind of brings, it gives life to that formal side of prayer. But again, I think it's important, both casual and formal. I think both are important. And both can have challenges.
Yeah. Ken, when I look at some of the Psalms and I look at the way some of the people in the Psalms are talking to God, I go, okay, here's authentic and raw. I mean, I look at Psalm 88 and Heman's in start, he says, I cry to you for help, Lord, in the morning. My prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and have been close to death. I have borne your terrors and I am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from me, friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Whoa.
I have to tell you, Bill, that the Psalms have been so important within Christian history, and even more than that, even within the Hebrew Bible to Judaism, there is something unique about the Book of Psalms. It was St. Augustine's favorite book. Mm-hmm. It was John Calvin's favorite book, Martin Luther's favorite book. There is something, and there has been within history, a practice of praying through the Psalms. I know in my own church, we have the Psalter. The pastor will recite part of that, and then the congregation will respond. And I think when you recognize the Psalms, there's so many different types. There is the lament.
Yeah.
I mean, where God's people are complaining or hurting. Then there are, you know, these glorious worship elements of the Psalms. And then, you know, King David, Psalm 51, where David talks very straightforwardly about his fallenness. So the Psalms are a remarkable book. And I would say, as a scholar of St. Augustine's life, Bill, I think one of the reasons why his book, The Confessions, is considered one of the great books in Christendom is that it is in the line of the Psalms, where Augustine just talks to God throughout the book. And
yeah.
So when you're reading, you're thinking, he's talking about me, that, you know, I can relate to that. The Psalms is a remarkable text of Scripture.
I agree. And I read these Psalms, and I think God knows how we talk when we're desperate or
wow.
completely broken. Because this is so raw, and I think, well, I want to be able to model some of my transparency and honesty with God at this level, even though it scares me to do it.
I think so. You know, another book that I think about is C.S. Lewis's A Grief Observed. And I remember reading that book before I learned the context that his wife had died. And it was kind of a journal that he was keeping. And he was so raw. He was so, he described his state of desperation. And I thought, wow. Well, again, I think being face to face with God, having that kind of intimacy. Again, I come back to some health problems I had. I felt rather desperate. And the passages of Jesus's life, thinking about what was the cross, thinking about the fact that his disciples had kind of abandoned him, being in that place, it was very, very, I don't want to go through it again, but it was enormously enlightening to me. I never felt, this is kind of a tension, but I felt a difficulty, but I also never felt any closer to God.
Interesting. All right, Ken, here's a text that just came in that feels a little on the raw side, which is what we're talking about, is what is the point of praying and saying you're wonderful and your name is great and you're beautiful for all you are? I mean, once you do that, he knows, right? Is this just for us, or is this my personality talking?
Well, that's a very, you always have these very thoughtful listeners.
I know I do.
Bill, you must be doing something good because you have these great comments. Well, let's dig into that comment. I think there is something unique about God in this sense that, God cannot sin. It's not that God could sin and he just squeaks by not being able to do it. No, God is in his very nature holy and just and good. Therefore, worshiping God has more to do with that sense of awe in God. I mean, when I was a young boy, I would love to just look at the ocean and as far as I could see, this sense of awe, or, you know, when you see lightning and thunder, the sense of awe. I think that being in the presence of God, you realize he extends beyond all of our categories. Now, is he, does he have a ego attitude taking place here? Well, again, think about it for a moment. Think about a being that is infinitely holy, infinitely good, totally just. Why wouldn't creatures, why wouldn't you pursue? I mean, we pursue a lot of things in our life, pleasure, money, success. What about pursuing and worshiping and honoring truth, goodness, and beauty mm-hmm. that have those qualities in infinity? And so I also recognize I was created for that very purpose. I was created to know and to love and to honor God. And therefore, I don't see any problem with repeating again in my own tradition. You know, we talk about Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Why? Because these mercies are infinite. It's not just one time, Lord, I thank you for your life, death, and resurrection. No, I am as a creature, I am totally aware of being grateful for those types of things.
Ken, how about the fact that your next heartbeat comes at the mercy of God?
That is so important. I mean, to recognize that all God knows all of the breaths you're going to take, and he gives you every breath.
Yeah.
You know, the beat of your heart, he knows how many beats. And
yeah, it's a wind-up clock.
Scripture talks about that.
You have so many clicks.
Yeah. Yes, and we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful for that. Our life, we're not the captain of our own ship. There are a lot of things outside of our control, and to recognize that, you know, God knows all those things and arranged all of those things. Again, a sense of God's providence, a sense that God is behind the scenes and he knows all of these things. These are things that are so deeply meaningful in our lives because, again, you're exactly right. You know, your next doctor visit could change your total life.
Completely. Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, these are. And again, prayer is so important from the spiritual warfare aspect. That's kind of lost on people at times, that there is malevolent forces in life. And so this is right at the, I would say in my own tradition, we talk about this. This is Christianity 101, talking about prayer.
Yeah, I mean, Ephesians 6:12, we were talking about this, I think, last week, but for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And yeah, we have to be in constant prayer for just protection against the enemy attacks.
Absolutely. That it is a necessary part of living the Christian life. And I think that, again, I come back to Peter Crafe's point. When a person reaches a place where that communication, that connection with God starts to wane and maybe goes away. Again, C.S. Lewis said Lewis said this in Mere Christianity. He says, most people who fall away, it's not like they find an argument for why Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Rather, they drift away. They float away. And I think that idea of these basic practices in living the Christian life, a time of reading Scripture, a time of studying Scripture, a time of prayer and devotion, These are very critical. You know, for some people, again, Christianity is hard, and to have a spiritual life means turning off the television, turning off, unplugging. It means devoting your life to God instead of your life to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Great comment just came in, then we'll go to break, Ken. But do you only tell your wife or husband that you love him or her when you get married and never need to tell them again? Why
wow,
would we want to tell God how much we love him every day?
That's great.
It's so absolutely relational. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And I bet Mrs. Samples likes hearing I love you from you.
She does.
No, I figured.
I like hearing it in return.
I knew that too. Ken Samples is my guest. We're going to take a little break and come back, continue on the importance of prayer. If you have a question or comment, send it over, 877-933-2484.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. Yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
Importance of prayer. That's what our topic is today. And if you just tuned in, you've missed a lot of good stuff already. You can always check it out at the podcast, though, at myfaithradio.com. Ken Samples is my guest. He's a philosopher and a theologian. You can learn more about Ken. He's a senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe, so it's reasons.org. He's written a number of books. The ones that come to mind for me are Christianity Cross-Examined, Classic Christian Thinkers, and God Among Sages. So, Ken, here's an interesting comment that just came in. Every recorded prayer, Jesus addressed God as Father, every prayer. So I'm wondering if the Trinitarian concept of connecting with God might be a bit cumbersome for new believers and those learning to pray. Just a thought.
Yeah, it is a thoughtful comment and question. That is such a rich topic. On one hand, I think what's very, very powerful about looking at the prayer of Jesus is he really is the only one who speaks about Yahweh Elohim in such intimate terms.
Mm-hmm.
In Judaism, you would not have that kind of intimacy with the Lord God, who is the creator of the universe. So there is an intimacy in that. Now, with regard to praying, and I think we do grow in our prayer. I remember teaching my children to pray, foundational principles of prayer, and again, talking with them about confession of sin, thanksgiving, worship, and petition, you know, all of those kind of components. Now, here's where I'm going to come back on the Trinity. I think if you begin to look at the language, though, of Scripture, where you have the such intimacy between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I mean, Jesus says, it's good that I go away. Well, how could it ever be good that Jesus would go away? Because he's going to send the Comforter,
mm-hmm.
the Advocate, the Spirit. So there's this inner Trinitarian life that I think is important, but I think it needs to be taken step by step. I don't want to confusing ideas in front of someone, but I think that rich Trinitarian element is very meaningful. And just as the Son intercedes for us, so the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Advocate, all of the three persons have these names that are so rich describing what they do.
Yeah, and we really learn about the Holy Spirit more in the book of Acts, but we learn about the Holy Spirit really from the beginning of Genesis. So it might be confusing to new Christians. Who should I be praying to? I mean, I hear that from time to time from mature Christians that go, should I be praying to God the Father? Should I be praying to Jesus? Should I be praying to the Holy Spirit? And my answer is yes.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Obviously, there is a pattern. We pray to the Father in the name or authority of the Son and the power of the Spirit. But they're all three divine, equal persons. I pray to all three, largely depending upon the circumstance. Maybe if I want God to touch someone's heart, I may pray and ask the Spirit. If I'm thinking of something that relates to the life of Christ, I will offer a prayer to my Lord Jesus. And of course, I'm always conscious and aware of God. And I love what you said. I mean, the Trinity is found in verses Genesis 1, mm-hmm. 1 and 1, 2.
Yeah, exactly.
It starts that early. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a comment, Ken. My daily Bible readings, I wrote down a verse that spoke to me, and when I would feel scared or stressed, I would reread the verse, and it helped me focus on God. That's a great way to pray.
It is. And I, you know, I heard a little bit of your previous guest talking about anxiety. I mean, Bill, I think largely since the pandemic, we have an epidemic of people experiencing anxiety and struggling in life. You know, the fact that prayer works, that prayer changes people, that people who pray see benefits medically, in terms of illness and those types of things. Again, as a Christian apologist, I think that that is support, evidence that God is real. And, you know, it's a powerful thing. You can take medication. And again, I think medication is a providential gift of God. But I would not want to in any way fail to recognize how having that intimate relationship with the Lord changes things.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about time of day. Does that matter? When you pray, I mean, I'm a big fan of morning, late mid-morning, noon, post-noon. I'm a big fan of just like all day long.
I love that. That's great. Well, I can tell you by tradition. Now, tradition is not scripture, but tradition plays an important role within church history. And in church history, there is a great significance on morning and evening prayer, that I start my entire day to the Lord. And again, I look to the Book of Common Prayer. There's a whole list of morning prayers. Then evening, that is, now I'm shutting down. Now I'm going to rest. Now I'm bringing my day to a close in that time of prayer. And I, to some extent, I think you see that again in the Psalms. But Paul, he has prayers in all types of circumstances, all situations. And so there isn't any, you know, structure that has to be restrictive. But I like to start my day and end my day with gratitude, with confession, with a sense of thanksgiving to God.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I've got a part two to a text that came in about the point of praying and saying you're wonderful, your name is great, you're beautiful. You know, is that necessary? And part two of the text that I think it's worth mentioning is I don't see the comparison to a spouse because you're each other's rock with your spouse. You depend on each other. And God is my rock. I'm not his rock. I thought that's kind of an interesting comment.
Well, that's certainly correct. I mean, the great Catholic philosopher Thomas Aquinas said, all language about God is an analogy.
True.
You know, when we talk about Jesus as the Lamb of God, he's not really a lamb, but he's like a lamb. You know, when we talk about father, I had a human father, you had a human father. Well, is he just like our human father? Well, he's both like and unlike. So definitely that is the case, but there is a sense in which it is like that. I mean, our parents bring us into being. We're begotten by our mother and father. Well, in a deeper sense, God brings our very existence and being, the world in which we live, and all of these kinds of relationships. And I think probably we want to live in the contrast of that God is both like and unlike us. Mm-hmm. He is personal, but he is the creator of all reality. And to know that we can trust in a being that never changes, a being that knows all things, that has power to do all things. I like that relationship. I like that dependency.
Mm-hmm. Ken, how do you, Ken Samples, deal with prayers that you just realized are not getting answered the way you put them out there? Not like your horse didn't win on Saturday at the Kentucky Derby. But you realize that something you fervently prayed for is not coming to fruition the way you had hoped. How do you deal with that disappointment?
Yeah, that's a practical reality. You know, there are things that I have petitions that I have prayed long about. You know, sometimes it's prayer for people in my family, maybe who struggle with different difficult things, or it may be things that are very personal to me in my own life. How do I address it? Well, I try to spend time reflecting about it. Is there maybe a reason God isn't answering this prayer? Or is it possible that my focus is off the subject or isn't right on target? I have to realize that God knows better than I. I mean, even Jesus, and Jesus' prayers are always answered. He says, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be at some point I may want to realize maybe God has a different plan. Maybe Amen. I'm looking at it in a narrow way.
Yeah, let me take a little break. Ken Samples is my guest. We're talking about the importance of prayer. If you heard anything you want clarification on or would like to ask a question, you certainly can do that. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
Hi there and welcome. If you are a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome packet gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com.
Ken Samples is my guest. We're talking about the importance of prayer. Ken is a philosopher and theologian, so I love his approach to everything that he talks about. And Ken, a question just came in. Does it matter if you pray out loud or can you just do it in your mind? Does it matter?
Again, it's interesting to me, Bill, that when we start talking about this fundamental aspect, all of these questions naturally arise. This is such an important topic that we start thinking and reflecting about it. I think both types of prayer are important. I think having sometimes, you know, like the psalmist, sometimes I want to complain. I want to, Lord, I want to communicate in words. On the other hand, I also think that there is a place for meditative prayer. I think there is a place for what ancient Christianity would call contemplative prayer, mm-hmm. reflective prayer. All of those are perfectly appropriate. You know, in the ancient world, Bill, people largely read out loud. They didn't read silently. That's very different than the way most of us read today. Prayer can be out loud. And in a formal context, in terms of a church worship or liturgy, it is formal prayer. But the Bible also talks about being away, you know, getting away from things and praying to the Lord in silence. All of that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Ken, what about traditional prayers? I'm going to try to rewrite this question that just came in, and it has to do with, you know, is it wrong that we pray the same prayer every day? And I think it's never wrong to be praying. But what about the traditional prayers that we seem to want to recite over and over and over? Is that helping us in our intimacy and in our prayer life, or is it checking the box a little bit? What would you say about that?
I think that, again, there are pros and cons. I think, Bill, there are some things that are so important they need to be repeated. I don't see the Lord's Prayer as being something, well, I'll pray that one time. No, it's kind of a pattern of Jesus really in the Lord's Prayer is kind of giving us a pattern of our prayer life. And you know, again, there are times where we recite our faith, creeds. Maybe the first creed in the New Testament is Jesus is Lord. I'm confessing, I'm believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth, John 10, that Jesus is Lord. These are very critical components. There are some things I want to say over and over. On the other hand, I think it's very possible that we can pray with our mind, but our heart are we're not completely behind that. I think that is a possibility. And I want to be fervent, and I want those words to be meaningful and purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Ken, what advice would you give any Christian who wants to, say, cultivate a deeper and richer prayer life?
Yes. Well, I do have some advice.
Good. I got a pen out.
I would start with the Psalms. The book of Psalms is a remarkable book. And there, you know, when you read the Psalms, you're praying and studying scripture all at the same time. Start with the Psalms. Make the Psalms a daily part of your prayer. There's a couple books I would recommend. Again, I've talked about the Book of Common Prayer. It was written by Thomas Cranmer, one of the great English reformers. But there's also a book that is written by one of my favorite contemporary theologians. He passed away a few years ago. It is Meditating as a Christian, subtitle Waiting Upon God, by Peter Toon, last name T-O-O-N. He talks about the richer development of prayer, reflection, meditation. And that's very different than what our New Age presents. Mm-hmm. It's not pantheism. It's not reincarnation. There's an Eastern mysticism that's very different than Christian meditation.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I can't remember who said this, but he or she said, whoever starts the conversation usually controls it. And I think if I start by praying God's word back to him, I'm putting him in control of the conversation.
I think that's great. I think that's great. I think sometimes people think that repeating words, and of course, there is a particular time where Jesus condemns the repetition of words. But there are also times where I want to be able to think through those verses. And I want those verses of scripture, like Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want that passage, and I repeat that scripture over and over again because I want to soak it in. I want it to be part of who I am. And I want to be encouraged that the Lord is always there, because all of us are wearied. All of us have been burdened. So there clearly is a time where I want scripture to become deeply part of my being, not just part of my mind, but right at the core of who I am.
Ken, I'm always deeply convicted by the way that verse continues, where Jesus says, I am gentle and humble in spirit. I think, wow. Boy, I'm not that way very often. I want to think I am, but boy, that rears its ugly head.
And Jesus is our model. I mean, Adam and Eve, they want to become God. Jesus is God, and he doesn't hold on to the prerogatives of deity.
Yeah.
His humility. We can come to him. He's our friend. He is our brother. He is our Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm. So, Ken, I'm always curious, because you read probably more than anyone I know. What's the last book you're finishing right now?
Well, interestingly enough, there are three books, and I'll just mention one of them. I am reading a book entitled, and I have it right here, Exploring Christian Doctrine, A Guide to What Christians Believe, by Tony Lane. It's one of the best doctrinal textbooks I've ever seen.
Wow, interesting. I'll have to check that one out myself. I always love to get good recommendations. I know you write books, and I always want to let my audience know that they can get your books, but I also want to know what you're reading too.
Well, I love that. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, well, thank you for, once again, an awesome hour, and I always appreciate getting your perspective, and you're always so kind and gracious with everyone here at Faith Radio, so I appreciate the time, and I look forward to next month where we can do this again.
Always my pleasure and privilege, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You bet. Ken Samples has been my guest. If you missed any of this hour, We talked about prayer and the importance of it. Check out the podcast at myfaithradio.com. I don't know what you've got planned for tonight, but I hope you have a nice, beautiful time with the Lord. Enjoy your evening. I pray you get a good night's sleep, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.